Hello, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now at 844-322-2742. Same number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to introduce a subject today that is somewhat controversial, but when you really look at what the Word of God has to say about it, it's really one of the most unifying truths of Scripture, and that's the subject of predestination. We're going to introduce it with this verse, 1 Peter 2:10. Actually, I'm going to step back and read verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So he's talking to us, and he's really kind of laying out a plan that he talks about in Romans 9, 10, and 11 about how he's trapped all in sin so that he could have mercy on all of us, both Jew and Gentile. It's an amazing plan, isn't it, guys?
Well, yeah, and you know what I love about the way that he expresses it here is that it's obviously written to the entire church. I mean, it's a corporate idea. It's not the idea that God went down the city street and, you know, chose some people and neglected other people and, you know, like a master puppeteer up in the sky caused people to respond to the gospel and then, you know, caused others to reject it. That's not really at all what we're reading. What we're actually reading is that, you know, God had this secret plan to have a church. And that secret plan is now not so much a secret anymore, that we corporately are a chosen race of people, that we corporately are a royal priesthood, that we corporately are a holy nation, that we all together collectively belong to God. We're a people of His own possession. And we do have a heavenly calling. But when we take these words like chosen and called and we make them about individual selection, that's when I think we've really missed the point. The point is that as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, we have a calling and we have been set apart. We're a chosen nation, just like Israel in the Old Testament. They were a chosen nation. It wasn't that God picked some Jews. He talked about all of Israel as a chosen people. So in the same way today, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, it has been corporately chosen to express Christ on this planet. And that is a beautiful message, isn't it?
It is a beautiful message. And I love how Peter really sits it on top of this mercy of God, God who is rich in mercy. That's the foundation. And it just goes from there. And so the Jew, you know, why they were hardened or why their hearts were hardened to get Jesus is because they didn't think they needed mercy. Well, that swung open the door for the message to go out to the Gentile world. The Gentiles responded, received the mercy of God. And then at a point in time, this whole gospel message is going to circle back to the nation of Israel, and they too will receive the mercy of God. That's the unifying reality. That's what makes us the people of God, those who have received the mercy of God. There's no way to be a person of God apart from the mercy of God. And when we see that, we see the wisdom that God has and how He's spread this gospel message and how this idea of predestination really becomes the most unifying, the most beautiful message in all the Word of God. It's really a powerful story.
Absolutely. That's the makings of a great conversation. We'd love to, for you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. And again, with open lines, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's start today in Fairfax, Virginia with our friend Chris listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I wanted to bring to the discussion a teaching which I don't agree with, and it's certainly not one that you guys have taught. And it goes like this. You can believe in Jesus for your salvation, and you can be in Christ, and you can have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You can be a new creation. And then in light of all of that, somehow you can permanently turn your back on Jesus. And it's like the work on the cross didn't do anything. It's like you're rejecting it. It's like you never believed in the first place. And that's certainly not something, like I said, that I agree with. It's not what you guys teach. I just wanted to bring it to the discussion today to get your thoughts. Maybe they'd be helpful to me and hopefully to some of the listeners out there.
Yeah, well, Chris, you know, first of all, I would say I think in that teaching there's a misunderstanding of what happens at salvation. If I think that salvation is just me agreeing with certain doctrinal points, well, then certainly I could wake up someday and decide, you know, I don't agree with those doctrinal points anymore. I'm going to turn my back on those concepts. I'm going to turn my back on God in some generic theological way. If that's all that salvation were, then that might be a possibility. But what real salvation is Romans 6 says your old self dies. So you can't go back to your old self. You can't, you know, crawl down into some tomb somewhere and resurrect an old self and try to be that person again. Salvation is your old self dies, and then you are born again. Now, you know, look at physical birth. Go trying to, you know, give it your best shot at trying to be unborn. How would you reverse your physical birth? Of course, you can't do that. So we can't reverse things like death. We can't reverse things like birth. And that is precisely why God uses this language when it comes to defining what real salvation is. Real salvation is my human spirit gets crucified with Christ. It's buried. It ceases to exist. And then I'm born again as a new creation. And that means my heart has changed. I've got a heart that is never going to go into rejecting the gospel. I don't have a rejecting heart. I've got a new heart. I don't have a born-again spirit that wants to get away from God. I've got a born-again spirit that's united with Christ forever. So we've been sealed forever. Eternal life is eternal life. It's not temporary life. And quite frankly, I think the people that think that true born-again Christians can somehow exit the building of the body of Christ, leave, abandon Jesus forever, those sort of thoughts really just present a lack of understanding of what real, genuine salvation is. It's a death and a new birth.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was also thinking how important identity is as a child of God. It's like, that's what I am. I can't change that. It's like I can't change my identity as a child of God any more than I can stop being a person and somehow turn into a plant. It's just not possible.
Right.
So I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks, as always, for your ministry.
Well, thanks for your question. It was a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah, Thank you so much, Chris. Good to hear from you. Hope you'll keep listening and call us again. Plenty of open lines right now if you'd like to call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Los Angeles and talk to Antoine. Hi, Antoine. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
It's really on the same topic. It's funny how that works, but I was listening to the radio, and they talking about Ronda Rousey, how she was on Ellen and was talking about how she was real down after her fight when she was defeated, because she was undefeated. And how she was thinking about suicide. And I was like, well, that reminds me of how you guys were talking about how your identity in Christ and how it's important to have your identity in Christ and not on what you do. And, you know, I was thinking that, you know, she ended up saying that she changed her mind, you know, but, you know, I know how people can get down like that. And I just wanted you guys to talk about that.
Well, Antoine, that's really a very important topic, our identity. I mean, that's one of the big three questions that we all ask. You know, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? That's what we want to find out. We're going to be restless until we have those questions answered. And that's why our identity in Christ is so vitally important. And, you know, when we don't know who we are, it's easy to get down on ourselves. It's easy to get disappointed in life. It's easy to live with unrealistic expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, it's easy to respond with anger and then fear and then self-pity. And then self-pity can lead to depression and ultimately despair. But when we understand who we are in Christ, and we go out into this world, we're not looking for the world to meet our needs. Our needs are met in Christ. So our expectations become more realistic. We can see things through truth, through grace. And as a result, we can give thanks in all things. And that really is the solution, is learning to walk by faith in Jesus. And that's expressed with a heart attitude of thankfulness. But I know Andrew and Richard both, this is one of the biggest issues that a person can really settle, is coming to grips with who they are. Apart from that, life is just chaotic, isn't it?
Well, and you bring suicide into it, you know, as part of a scenario. And, you know, what I would say is that there's a whole lot of pain that an unbeliever might feel. There's a whole lot of desperation, a lot of deep hurt inside. And they're basically, if they're confronted with suicide, they're saying, I want to put this to an end. I want to bring an end to this. I don't want to live anymore if this is what life is. And, you know, ironically, Jesus invites us to a new life, and he first invites us to a death, a spiritual death. It's not a physical death, but it is a spiritual death. And so in that way, we can, even in our most desperate moment as an unbeliever, we can get the answer to our heartfelt need. I want this to stop. I need a new life. I need to have a whole new experience on this planet. And that's exactly what Jesus invites us to come follow him to the cross, to be crucified, buried, and raised as a new creation, a child of God. And so when the unbeliever, who is maybe flirting with the idea of suicide, instead of terminating their physical life, turns to Jesus for new life, they actually have the need of their heart met. And then, as a born-again person, yeah, I might fight those thoughts, and the enemy might accuse me and lead me toward depressing ideas. And that's where what you said, Bob, you know, you really have to take those thoughts captive and decide, I'm not going to let those thoughts control me, and I'm going to recognize and give thanks for the new life that I have. My life is not gained from a series of positive circumstances. My life is not gained from health or wealth or, you know, anything out there on the planet. My real life, my real satisfaction is gained from one thing, and that is knowing Jesus Christ. He is my everything.
Antoine, does that help?
Yeah, that's great. I didn't think about that as like a spiritual suicide. You're killing your old self and coming alive to Christ. That was a good way to think of it. Thanks.
Yeah, well, God initiates it, and he's the one that causes us to be crucified with Christ, and he's the one that gives us new life. And yeah, it's actually beautiful to think about that Jesus is the answer to someone who's hurting that deeply.
Yeah. Well, Antoine, we certainly appreciate your call.
The way we started today in 1 Peter chapter 2, those statements are statements of identity. I mean, we tend to think of them when we first read them as a clever turn on a phrase. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You know, wow, what a creative way to say that. Well, he's not being creative. He's stating a truth, and we've got to come to grips with that truth. I mean, we've got to start accepting what the Bible describes about us, how Jesus calls us by name, gives us these identities, and seriously take that into our very souls, the core of our being, so that it can change us the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines. Time on the clock, 844-322-2255. 2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we started the year talking about the importance of keeping up the good work during the month of January, and of course, every month is vital to the support of this ministry. And we want to remind you right now that with your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's 3-CD series, Profiles in Character, Lessons from Unlikely Heroes. Now, through this series, Bob shines a spotlight on 3 well-known Bible accounts, the stories of Samaritans, to find out, and we can find out what we can learn from these unlikely heroes of Scripture. We believe that you'll find that these lessons are life-changing. To complete your gift and receive your copy of Profiles in Character, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that's Donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-412-2742. 2742. And Andrew, as a member of the board of directors of Basic Gospel, give us your perspective on the importance of our listeners really following through and helping us keep this message going.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to ask people to consider, you know, how often do you turn on the radio and out there on the Christian airwaves or the secular airwaves, how often do you hear the name of Jesus Christ being exalted, being proclaimed, and how often is the teaching that you hear, whether it's inside of a church building or in a book or on the radio or television, how often do you really hear the finished work of Jesus Christ being bragged on? And how often do you see people pointing others to Jesus, the cross, the resurrection? You know, we really, unfortunately, what we're talking about on this program is a unique message today. It is plastered all over the Bible. And yet this focus is so very unique. And so I encourage people to give because of that, because this should be normal. This should be normal Christian teaching everywhere. And yet the plain fact is that it's not. And so we need your help. We need your support. We can't do it without you. You're part of the team, whether you realize it or not. You're part of us. And you play a huge role in this. The program literally would not exist were it not for you. So consider going to basicgospel.net. It takes just a couple of minutes to give. And from the bottom of our hearts, let us say thank you. It means the world to us.
Absolutely. Thank you for those excellent points, Andrew. And friends, again, to complete your gift and get your copy of Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher, all you need to do, as Andrew said, is click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone our operator at 844-412-2742. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Middletown, Delaware, and talk with Tony. Hi, Tony. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine. What's on your mind today?
Well, it's about sharing Christ on, like, social media platforms. You know, like, I read so much, you know, come across so much, you know, what I call, like, crap or garbage, anti-Christ, you know, anti-human, you know, like, evolution type stuff. And I want to... you know, I don't want to come across as a jerk or anything like that, but I just want to say, you know, so many things that come to my mind, but I, you know, and you know, point towards Christ in a loving way. But it just seems like, you know, I just, you know, I'm having problems doing that. Like, one thing I think of saying, you know, when I see, you know, just a lot of perversion or people talking about perverted things, like, I want to say, well, hey, why don't we have a let's celebrate men that have never cheated on their wives day or something like that. Like, is that like jerky, like to say something like that?
It's a good question, Tony.
Yeah. Understand
Andrew,
the frustration.
Yeah, that's right. Really. Andrew, what are your thoughts on that? You use social media quite a bit and are engaged in different exchanges.
Yeah.
You see a lot of crazy stuff, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and I think it comes down to, am I going to spend my time on someone else's page, on someone else's wall, arguing with them when they initiated a discussion that clearly is filled with the possibility of bickering and arguing and creating division, or do I just want to go on my own page, on my own wall, with my own account and proclaim what I believe is important and proclaim what I believe is true. And so I think that, you know, first of all, I don't know that I've ever argued someone into faith in Christ. I've never, you know, argued or debated someone into the faith. And so really, I think, you know, as Christians, we have an opportunity to use our Facebook account or Twitter account or whatever it might be, Instagram, to proclaim what we believe and why we believe it. But it's a very different thing to constantly to make it a habit of going on other people's accounts and walls and just, you know, arguing with everything they say. If there's stuff you don't want to see, you can block them. You don't have to be their friend on Facebook. There is a choice there. But 9 times out of 10, I think when we go on other people's walls just to disagree with them, it doesn't turn out very pretty. And we kind of end up at the end of the evening, oh, it's 11 o'clock now, and look how I've spent my evening arguing with this person. So, you know, Facebook is a tool. Twitter is a tool. These social media outlets are simply tools. They can be used for good, in dependency on Christ with a great attitude about it, or they could be used simply for bickering and divisive speech. And, you know, I've chosen to pretty much stay focused on my own proclamations of what I believe is true rather than chasing down everybody else and trying to argue with them. So I hope that helps some. Does that help?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's very helpful because I do find myself doing, like, if I see someone, you know, just kind of just saying something way out, I just feel like I have the need to at least set the record straight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to set it straight, and then you put your comment up there, and then the problem is that then 5 minutes later they come back with their rebuttal, and then you feel once again you've got to have your rebuttal, and then, you know, it gets down to 16 comments, and then somebody comes in and says, you know, why are these Christians always, you know, arguing or fighting, and then you've got a question of was it worth it? Was it worth your time? I don't think there's a right way and a wrong way. I just want to tell you that in my experience, my advice is that if you feel an issue is important, put it on your wall. Say what you think about it. And you don't have to single anyone out or embarrass them or make it into an argument, but just state what you believe and why you believe it. And that's the beauty of the nation we live in, that we're free to do that. And, yeah, you might get some people coming on your wall to attack you about it. And again, you know, I think we Christians sometimes feel like we have to be a doormat, that we have to let everybody run over us all the time. But it's possible to delete comments, to block bad relationships that aren't healthy. I mean, we do this in our regular everyday life, and social media doesn't have to be any different. Ultimately, let's be led by God's Spirit in everything we do, whether it's in the real world or online. So I hope that's helpful.
Tony,
yeah,
we sure appreciate your call, my friend.
You know, on that subject, I was just having a similar conversation with my daughter, Rhonda, about posts on Facebook just recently, and she was making the point that people, when they get up in the morning, many times go to Facebook, and if you have put something there that points people to the Lord Jesus Christ, for faith in Him, trusting in Him as you go through each day, it can be a tremendous encouragement to people. And as I have looked more and more at Facebook over these past few months, you know, I never realized that there were so many people going through so many things. And if you can be an encouragement by just pointing people to the Lord Jesus, I think it's a tremendous tool that we have at our...
Absolutely, and that's why we encourage people to like us on Facebook,
yes,
because you're going to get some daily encouragement, daily hope, daily verses, and I think that's a great help, things that you can share with others, and like Andrew's page as well, because he does the same thing. And those are the kinds of things that I would just love to see just spread like wildfire through these social medias. And we have that opportunity. We don't have to, as Andrew said, be divisive. We can actually just share hope, encouragement, and leave it at that. Let God deal with the results of it. That's the great thing. We have a great God that can use those things in significant ways just at the right time in a person's life.
Absolutely. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and all that stuff.
Yes, indeed.
We're out of time. Hey, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and the Basic Ministry team, Basic Gospel Ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.